Hello and welcome to episode 811 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. It is my pleasure to be with you this morning. My name is Terrence M. Stanton. We are recording on Thursday, February 22nd, 2024, in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us begin with the great saint and doctor of the church, Alphonsus Liguori's Thursday prayer to the Most Blessed Virgin Mary to obtain heaven. O Queen of Paradise, who reignest above all the choirs of angels, and who art the nearest of all creatures to God, I, a miserable sinner, salute thee from this valley of tears, and beseech thee to turn thy compassionate eyes towards me. For whichever side they turn, they dispense graces. See, O Marian, how many dangers I now am and shall be as long as I live in this world, of losing my soul, of losing heaven and God. In thee, O Lady, I have placed all my hopes. I love thee, and sigh to go soon to see thee and praise thee in heaven. Ah, Mary, when will be that happy day on which I shall see myself safe at thy feet and contemplate my mother who has done so much for my salvation? When shall I kiss that hand which has delivered me so many times from hell and has dispensed me so many graces, when, on account of my sins, I deserve to be hated and abandoned by all? My Lady, in life I have been very ungrateful to thee, but if I get to heaven, I shall no longer be ungrateful. There I shall love thee as much as I can in every moment for all eternity, and shall make amends for my ingratitude by blessing and thanking thee forever. I thank God with my whole heart, who gives me firm confidence in the blood of Jesus Christ and in thee, and the conviction that thou wilt save me, that thou wilt deliver me from my sins, that thou wilt give me light and strength to execute the divine will, and in fine, that thou wilt lead me to the gate of paradise. Thy servants have hoped for all this, and not one of them was deceived. No, neither shall I be deceived. O Mary, my full confidence is that thou hast to save me. Beseech thy Son Jesus, as I also beseech him, by the merits of his passion, to preserve and always increase this confidence in me, and I shall be saved. We return today, friends, to Meditations for Lent by St. Thomas Aquinas, available at fisheaters.com, the excellent Catholic website. This is the edition that was published by Sheed and Ward in 1937. The meditation here for First Thursday, the heading of which is, "It was fitting that Christ should be crucified with the thieves." Christ was crucified between the thieves because such was the will of the Jews, and also because this was part of God's design. But the reasons why this was appointed were not the same in each of these cases. One, as far as the Jews were concerned, our Lord was crucified with the thieves on either side to encourage the suspicion that he too was a criminal. But it fell out otherwise. The thieves themselves have left not a trace in the remembrance of man, while his cross is everywhere held in honor. Kings laying aside their crowns have broidered the cross on their royal robes. They have placed it on their crowns, on their arms. It has its place on the very altars. Everywhere throughout the world we behold the splendor of the cross. In God's plan, Christ was crucified with the thieves in order that, as for our sakes, he became accursed of the cross. So for our salvation, he is crucified like an evil thing among evil things. So, friends, he's put to death as a common criminal amongst men who actually deserved it, because the Jews wanted to show that he was a common criminal. Did that work? Nope. He's worshipped by our Lord and Savior. He's worshipped as our Lord and Savior by billions of people in the world. And not much is said about the men who he was crucified with. God always has a plan. God has a plan for your life. He has a plan for my life. He has a plan for everyone and everything. Are we going to cooperate in it like our Lord Jesus Christ did perfectly? Or are we going to rebel against that? If we take up our cross and follow our Lord, ask him for the grace to do that on a daily basis. For me, it's a moment-by-moment basis, he will help us. He is love itself. He is mercy itself. But if we rebel against him, we're like the people who were at the foot of the cross 2,000 years ago, chanting, "Crucify him, crucify him." We rebel against the Lord. We rebel against his plan. But we can't defeat his plan. The demons can't defeat his plan. God takes all of this into account. And to sin is to rebel against the Lord. That's the height of insanity. We don't want to do that. We want to love our Lord. We want to console him. We want to console his holy face. 2. St. Thomas Aquinas says, the Pope, St. Leo the Great, says that the thieves were crucified, one on either side of him, so that in the very appearance of the scene of his suffering, there might be set forth that distinction which should be made in the judgment of each one of us. St. Augustine has the same thought. The cross itself, he says, was a tribunal. In the center was the judge. To the one side, a man who believed and was set free. To the other side, a scoffer and he was condemned. Already there was made clear the final fate of the living and the dead, the one class placed at his right, the other on his left. This is so true, friends. Our Lord is a teacher. He's Lord and Savior, but he's also a teacher. He's the greatest teacher who has ever lived. And he's showing us our future, the future of everyone. Are we going to choose life? Are we going to choose him? The good thief who says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Or are we going to be like the bad thief who mocks our Lord? That's ultimately where we all are, because everyone you ever meet is going to end up in one place or the other, heaven or hell. Imagine many souls go to purgatory first, but those who go to purgatory are going to be in heaven eventually. So ultimately, we're all going to one of two places. And our Lord depicts that quite clearly, quite plainly, and he's teaching us always, even when he's in his agony. The good thief chooses Jesus. And our Lord says, "Amen. I say to thee, today you will be with me in paradise." So for anyone who thinks they're beyond the mercy of God, or you have family members who have been leading dissolute lifestyles, they could be alcoholics, drug addicts, bank robbers, whatever. Maybe they've been away from the sacraments for decades. Maybe they're not Catholic. They're racked with anxiety and depression and are caught up in all sorts of things they shouldn't be doing. Keep praying for them. Because God has a plan for their life. God has a plan for your life. And you could come to Jesus at the end of your life, just like the good thief did. And look what our Lord says to him. "Amen. Today you will be with me in paradise." So don't give up on anyone. Don't give up on yourself either. Keep praying the rosary every single day. Our Lord loves you more than you can possibly imagine. 3. According to St. Hilary, the two thieves, placed to the right and to left, typify that the whole of mankind is called to the mystery of our Lord's passion. And since division of things according to right and left is made with reference to believers and those who will not believe, one of the two, placed on the right, is saved by justifying faith. We have to believe. We have to believe. There is no historian worth his salt who says that Jesus did not exist. If memory serves, I believe there are more historical texts for the existence of the man known as Jesus of Nazareth than there are all the ancient Roman emperors combined. There's just reams and reams of evidence that Jesus existed. And no credible historian would say that he was a myth or he was some sort of fabrication. That would be absurd. Even the most leftist historians don't say that Jesus didn't exist. The big issue, of course, is, and our Lord says this in the scriptures, who do you say that I am? C.S. Lewis offered the offered his three options: Lord, liar, or lunatic. Dr. Peter Kraft added to that myth or guru. So who is our Lord? Lord, liar, lunatic, myth, or guru? He is Lord. He is who he said he was. He's God. Is he a liar? No, he's truth himself. Is he a lunatic? Well, anyone who says they're God and is not. You know, if they're not a liar, they're a lunatic. A myth, as we've just said, mountains of historical evidence that he existed. Is he a guru, some sort of personal self-help guy? No, of course not. That would have been anathema to the people who were in Palestine 2,000 years ago. They wouldn't have understood what a guru was. Jesus is Lord, and Jesus is King of all nations. We need to enshrine that into law everywhere. Jesus is the King of your life and mine. What separates us from him is sin. So we need to root out all the sin in our life. And only he can do that. We need to ask him for the grace, especially now during Lent is the perfect time. Any sin that we're attached to, anything that is separating us from him, needs to be eliminated from our life so we can be happy with him forever in the next and be happy now. You know, you start your heaven or you start your hell right now. When we live a virtuous life, when we're doing good and avoiding evil, we're starting heaven right now. But if we're caught up in mortal sin, if we're caught up in doing things we shouldn't be doing, that might lead to temporary pleasure. That's why we do it. That's why we sin, get that temporary pleasure. But ultimately, it leads to guilt, it leads to regret, and it leads to despair. We don't want that. We want to do God's will for our life, and it never, ever involves sin. As the Catholic apologist Dr. Ralph Martin says, sin never helps. 4. As St. Bede says, the thieves who were crucified with our Lord represent those who for the faith and to confess Christ undergo the agony of martyrdom or the severe discipline of a more perfect life. More perfect life. Those who do this for the sake of eternal glory are typified by the thief on the right hand, those whose motive is the admiration of whoever beholds them, imitate the spirit and the act of the thief on the left-hand side. As Christ owed no debt in payment for which a man must die, but submitted to death of his own will in order to overcome death, so also he had not done anything on account of which he deserved to be put with the thieves. But of his own will, he chose to be reckoned among the wicked, that by his power he might destroy wickedness itself. Which is why St. John Chrysostom says that to convert the thief on the cross and to turn him to paradise was as great a miracle as the earthquake. How about that? That's the last line of the meditation. I'll read it again. Which is why St. John Chrysostom says that to convert the thief on the cross and to turn him to paradise was as great a miracle as the earthquake. And I've heard it said, might have been by Dr. Scott Hahn, could have been someone else, that it's a greater miracle that our Lord works acting in persona Christi through the person of the priest acting in the person of Christ to forgive our sins in confession than it was for our Lord to raise Lazarus from the dead. Because Lazarus died eventually from something else, whether it was 5 years later, 10 years later, 15 years later. Lazarus died again and stayed dead. But to forgive sins, to restore someone to the state of grace, only God can forgive sins. That's greater than raising Lazarus from the dead. What a tremendous thing to be Catholic. It's been said, I believe, by Chesterton, Catholicism is almost too good to be true, except it's all true. Let us conclude, friends, by once again mentioning Helping Autism Through Learning and Outreach, available on the web at halo-soma.org, halo-soma.org. Also, please tune into episodes 277 and 548 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast for more information pertaining to RPM. That's an acronym for Rapid Prompting Method, a system of communication for non-speakers. There are some variations of it, sometimes called spelling to communicate or spelling method, rapid prompting method. They're all variations of the same thing, ways of helping non-speakers to communicate. Before my niece was 8 years old, we didn't even know her favorite color. Now we know she's a comprehensive genius who writes music, poetry, very skilled in regards to mathematics. She even knows foreign languages. She's immensely intelligent. And RPM has been as big of a breakthrough in terms of being able to communicate for non-speakers as sign language was for the deaf. You can also point to Braille in terms of being able to read for the blind. It's been that huge. But you cannot use a tool unless you know about it. So please get this information to the family and friends of non-speakers. They need our help. So many people don't know about this. We want it to be as common and as accepted as sign language and as Braille. How many thousands of people are out there? Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, who knows how many? Like my niece, who have so much to offer the world. But they've been denied access to communication. Communication is a human right. You can imagine how sad and frustrated you would be if you were unable to communicate. So thank you so much for your help in that endeavor. Thank you so much for listening to this edition of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. Please say an Ave Maria for yours truly, and I will talk to you again very soon. Goodbye, and God love you.